say it's good this morning to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate each one that's come. Thank the Lord for this meeting and what it's already meant to me, the blessings that I've received and the help that I've got. I was, woke up this morning and all the storms and things, I got up a little early, began to try to physically, I guess, prepare myself for meeting, get around and get things together, and then I begin to try to prepare my heart to go to church. And I believe the Lord's pleased with what's going on, and one good sign is I had to fight the devil a little this morning. You know, Paul said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil's present. And he put up a pretty good fight this morning with me, and it's amazing how small the things that he'll torment you with and aggravate you with. And sometimes it's not as easy as it seems maybe to put him on the road. But the scripture come to my mind that it says, resist the devil and he'll flee. But it don't stop there. It says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. So in prayer I told the Lord, Lord, I know you're willing, you're waiting for me, but I want to make the first move. And I believe God wants us to do that. Resist the devil and he'll flee. That tells us to draw nigh to God, and then God will draw nigh to us. So I hope and pray this morning that we'll make the first move and try to scrooge up close to the Lord. That's what some of the old preachers back home would say. And you pray for us this morning. I noticed Brother Reeves yesterday when he got up to preach, he spoke of how nervous he was, and I thought, I can only imagine how he feels if I ever was to get called on, how nervous I'd be. But I thought he done well preaching, and the Lord helped him get past that. And I pray the Lord will help me this morning just get past that and be able to feel comfortable and just preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. I got some scripture in the book of 2 Kings. You want to read in chapter 4. It would be quite a bit of reading if I read it all, so I won't read much of it. I might just go over it a little and then get you to my point that I feel like God has laid on my heart. I appreciate all the good preaching that I've heard in this meeting, and all you people, and the kindness that's been shown to us. And there's been women out in the fellowship all help my wife, my little girls, and things like that. I just appreciate good people. And I appreciate being among God's people. There's no people like God's people. And I'm thankful. I told someone here a while back, I was trying to preach, and I was in a revival, and I thought about God's people all my life. God's people have never done nothing but love me all my life. From the time I was born, they prayed for me, they loved me, and took care of me, and watched after me, and preachers picked at me when I was little. And God's, I love God's people. I thank God for being one of His children and being part of the family of God. 2 Kings chapter 4, this story sort of would start in verse 8, speaks of Elisha passing into Shunem. The Bible says that there was a great woman there. She constrained him to eat bread and said it was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. She began to speak to her husband and tell him about this man of God. Something that he did, something about him, made her perceive that he was a man of God. And that is a message there in itself. And I don't feel to preach on that, but that is a message in itself. I believe that we ought to be a man of God if we are a man of God wherever that we are. Not just to put on in the pulpit, but be that wherever we are. But she saw this and began to speak to her husband, and she said, we need to show kindness to him. So they built a little chamber, the Bible tells us in verse 10 there, on the wall, and put some things in there. And then Elisha had a servant named Gehazi. The Bible says that he says, you know, you go ask the woman. She's been good to us. Maybe there's something we could do for her. The Bible says that he asked her, you know, in verse 13, could we speak to the king for you? Or to the captain of the host? She said, I dwell among mine own people. And Gehazi's reply in verse 14 to Elisha is that she has no child and her husband's old. So the man of God says, I'm going to bless you. He said, according to a certain season and a certain time, you're going to bear a son. And this all came to pass just like the man of God had said. And this child grew, it says in verse 18, and when he was grown, he went out in the field one day with his father to the reapers, and he began to complain in verse 19 with his head. And the father spoke and said, "You take the lad unto his mother." And the Bible says she sat on his knee there in verse 20 till noon and then died. And then the Bible says she went up, laid him on the bed in this room where they had built for the man of God, shut the door, went out, and called for one of the young men. I feel like God won't just go on through this here. I'm not reading it every word, but word for word. But she calls one of the young men, tells him to saddle an ass and to go. His reply is, "Why are we going now? Not today. It's not normal time." Said it's neither new moon nor Sabbath. Her reply is, "It shall be well." In other words, don't you worry about it. We need to go. And the Bible says that she saddled the ass and said to her servant, "Drive, go forward. Slack not thy riding except I bid thee." So they come to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. The Bible says that when he saw her coming afar off, he says to his servant, he says, "Yonder comes that Shunammite." The Bible said, he said, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?'" And she answered, "It is well." You can read on in the story where she begins to cling to the man of God and begins to tell him that she said, "Don't deceive me. I desired a son. You told me that I would have a son." And so the Bible speaks of him going in there, going into the room, spending time with the child. And I believe it speaks here of the child. He said, I might go on down here and read what he done. The miracle that takes place in verse 34. He stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Said, then he returned and walked in to and fro, in the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. So that's pretty much the entire account of this scripture. I just want to take a portion of this scripture that I read to you there. In verse 26, and her reply to the man of God, or to his servant, when she says, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say to her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And I feel like preaching on that thought this morning. You pray for us this morning. I appreciate this woman's faith that she had. I believe she had faith that she believed if she could get to the man of God, that it could be well. And she not only said, "Well, if I can just get there, things might turn out right," but she said, "It shall be well." She spoke with great confidence, and I'm thankful that we can approach God with great confidence. I'm thankful for that. We can have boldness to approach God, knowing that if we can get to where He's at, it'll all be all right. But I'm focusing on this thought that it is well. I looked to several places in the Bible. This is not used a whole lot in this particular way. It's used over there in the account of Jonathan and David when Saul has become David's enemy, and he tells Jonathan about it, and he says, "This is not so." Said, in other words, "There's nothing that my father hides from me." And the Bible says, David said, "If my thinking's right, and if it's like I think," he said, "there ain't but one step between me and death." And so he tells him to go and speak to Saul. And the Bible says, he says, "You tell him that I'm going to go into Bethlehem there, and it's a special time." And he says, if he says it is well, then we know it's all right. But he said, if not, he said, we know what I'm telling you is right. And so David went a little journey. They went out in the field, and y'all all know the story about him shooting the arrows there. If he shot one closer, it meant one thing. If he shot beyond him, it meant maybe that there, or near, not to him, it was
was danger. In other words, but we find that phrase used there in that scripture. And we think about it. You know, it can mean a lot of things. The word will is used in many scripture. It's used in us in our speech when we talk about our health. Someone asks you, how you doing? And you might say, I'm not well, or I am well. And so we know this word. It's used in many ways, but I want to focus on this. And you know, I don't got 3 or 4 points. I just got one. But if I'll do to preach that, I believe that today it'll satisfy the Lord. I mean, sometimes, you know, I try to get 3 or 4 points, and sometimes I never get past point one. I got to thinking here a while back, and I preached a message at a church, and I don't feel like they really got it. You know, sometimes I don't know if they do or not. But I got to thinking about that scripture over there where he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I got to thinking about that, and I just sat there and God spoke to us, you know, and he led me to preach on what makes salvation so great. And so I thought of 3 or 4 points that I might could make, you know. But my first point was it was free. And I don't know about the church, but I got everything I could handle in point one. I'm thankful salvation free. The Bible tells us that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but that it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God it didn't cost me nothing. He paid it all at the cross, and when God dealt with me and I surrendered my will and way to Him, He granted me the gift of eternal life. That's what He said, you know. He said, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm thankful for that. So I just got one point, and I just want to dwell on this thought that it is well, and it is well with my soul. There is a song that says, it is well with my soul. There is another song that says, is it well with your soul? You know, I can't answer for you. Oh, I've got confidence in many people. I believe they've met the same God that I have met. I believe they know the same God that I know. I believe they've been to the foot of the cross like I've been there. Someone mentioned yesterday about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And there's many signs in the Bible through the Scriptures. You don't have to pray for some superstitious thing to happen or some big something to happen to know you're saved. You can just put it to the Bible test and listen to the voice of God and the Holy Ghost and the fruits of the Spirit and just look at all of that and you can figure it out really. I'm not saying it's a mind game, but there's a lot of people that ain't got it settled that it's well with their soul. But I'm glad this morning I can stand on my own 2 feet and answer right now just like the ladies and the young men did or the man did last night as the Dixon family sang, put his arm around his family. He said, but before God and all of these people, are you born again? And their answer was yes. I'm glad I can say this morning that I know I've been saved. Without a doubt, I know I'm saved. Without any doubt, I know that it's well with my soul. I'm thankful for the blessings that God has given me. I'm thankful for the life. I thought as Brother Milby was preaching the other night, and folks was praising the Lord, and how the Scriptures tells us, as you read, that we ought to praise the Lord. Begin to talk about, you know, a good mom and a good dad, and my mind begin to play back in life. I could have been told that Allah was God. I could have been told that Muhammad was his prophet. I could have been told that Jesus was only a good man. Oh, but I wasn't, and I'm glad I wasn't. I'm glad that I heard the old time gospel. I could have been told that all there was to it was repeat this prayer and you're all right, and went through and believed it. I could have been told many things, but oh, I was told that there was a Savior that loved me. I was told there was a hell that burned and a heaven that shined. And they preached and preached until one day God come to where I was and called me out and spoke to me. And I'd ask questions as a little boy. How will I know when it's my time? How will I know when it's God? And they didn't give some big psychological answer. They said, you will know. And I'm telling you, I didn't want to admit it, but when God spoke to me, there was a dread come over my soul, and I knew I wasn't safe anymore. I'd go in the church, sing the songs of the church, listen to them sing, and I loved every bit of it. Even in Sunday school, every now and then, little kids that let us request a song or two, and I loved that old song, the old country church. I took pride in that little white-sided church where we went on Sunday morning. And not saying that it's got to be that way, but I just loved that place because of the people there. I remember women that could outpray men that I hear nowadays. I'm being honest. One old sister named Hester Bray would call on God, and another old sister named Miss Morgan. When I mean pray till you, something would come loose, you know. And I loved them people and around them people all my life. And I took to the little church where my mom got saved, and they preached, and God dealt with me. And Mama was a praying, and for some reason she had a feeling from the Lord that I might be near it at the time. And one day we was there in the summer, and revival was going on, and we was out by the clothesline, and Mama looked me in the eye, and she said, "Son, are you lost?" I said, "No, Mama, I'm not lost." She said, "Now you'd tell me if you was, wouldn't you?" I said, "I'd tell you, Mom, but I done had that feeling that it wasn't well, and I knew I'd lied to her. I felt bad about lying to her, but that was that old depraved nature of man, and he'll do that." First instance was Adam and Eve when they got wrong with God. First thing they done was try to hide their condition. They hid from God and tried to fix it themselves, covered up their nakedness with fig leaves, but God seen right through it. I began to ponder that, and I was pretty much all right as long as I could stay busy. This took place in my life at the age of 12. And I didn't go as long as I've heard some people say about conviction. It got a hold of me so great that I couldn't take it. I went about three days, if my memory, I estimate something like 3 days, that God dealt with my soul. I mean, the closer I got to church time, the more dread that I felt this great separation. I felt this condemnation upon me. I felt so out of place. I'd sit in the church and I thought everybody is watching me. I don't think they was, but I'd stepped out and I had become accountable for my sins. And I felt like, I guess it was the fellow preaching yesterday about the girl who felt so dirty. I felt like a worm, you know, like that, I guess. I didn't think of it at that time, but now to express it to you, I felt so filthy and so dirty. And they preached and just kept on preaching. And they'd give an invitation and folks would come to the altar. Some made professions, some went back to their seat. But one night I'd had all I could take sitting on the second pew there of the New Liberty Baptist Church. I remember this, and I wouldn't recommend this a whole lot, but I had an uncle that was praying and talking to God, and the preacher preached, and he got up out of his seat and come to where I was, and here's what he said. He said, "Are you lost, Jeremy?" I said, "Yes." He didn't tell me I was. He just asked me, "Was I?" I said, "Yes, I'm lost." And he said, "You know right now if you died, you'd go to hell?" And I just broke and began to sob and couldn't hardly even answer it. I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, why don't you go to the altar?" And so I run to the altar. And the first instinct was to hide myself for the shame of it all. I was so ashamed. And that's what conviction will do for you. I was so filthy and ashamed of myself. And God had broke me down. And He broke me till my will was broke. I mean, I've told folks there's a lot plucked green. Probably always has been. I said it's like picking blackberries. If you reach for one and pull on it and it pulls back, it's not ripe. But if you'll give it time, brother, and everything in order, all you got to do is just touch it and it'll fall out in your hand. I'm telling you, let them be and let God deal with them. I'm wanting them to have something that they stand on, brother, when the stars begin to fall. I reckon numbers is all right if they count. But all if it is a piece of paper, it'll burn. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And them preachers know this helpless. They'd preached to me, instructed me, but to a point they knew they was helpless. They couldn't save me. Only God could. They'd say, "Son, trust Him." They didn't only tell me to, they told me I could. They said, "You can trust Him, son." And said, call on Him and don't you be ashamed. He wants to save you. They said, if He drew you up here, He won't leave you hanging, son. Pray and call on the Lord. Believe on Him with all your heart. See, we've got this thing, I think, mixed up, and I don't know a whole lot, but I know it's well with my soul. I know that. You know, my prayer wasn't real pretty. I guess all it was God, please, God, please, God, please, over and over. Lord, I believe. The Bible says I've got to believe, so I'll tell Him over and over. I believe, and I prayed multiple prayers, two or three times, and someone else got saved before I did, and the church shouted a while, and then prayed a little while with me. And I believe they finally just decided that I just maybe wasn't ripe enough, and they're just going to let me be and get up and go back to my seat, but they couldn't see what God was doing fully in my heart. And I was determined. They sang a song as Jacob was in days of old when he wrestled with the Lord. And the name of it was, I Would Not Be Denied. I'm telling you, I didn't want to let go until He blessed me. I was tired of that feeling. I was tired of that fear and that scary feeling and that dread. And I said, I've seen others get saved and believed it. And I know the Lord died for everybody. And I know you dealt with me. And the devil's a liar. And I said, God, I believe in You. Know I believe. And a miraculous thing happened that I couldn't make take place. That the preachers, even the church, couldn't make take place. Something real had begun in me. I believe it's a grace. I'm not a Calvinist, but I believe that repentance and faith are graces that God, if God doesn't give a man a godly sorrow, it won't work repentance. You can't scare them into it. You can't beat it into them. You can't even convince them on your own. But it is right. The Holy Ghost to do it. I was totally, completely convicted, convinced that everything I'd been told was more than fact, more than mental. I believed it with all of my heart. And at that point, when God helped me do that, I trusted the Lord with everything in my heart. And He saved me that night. He saved me. That very night I sat, the benches was turned this way. And that very night at the end of the meeting, folks were standing in the end of the service and the preacher, I'd seen many people testify, and a lot of them wouldn't say a whole lot. They'd just say, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And I would even ask people, how do you know when you need to testify? You'll know, they'd say. And you know, I hadn't been saved an hour or less, maybe 30 minutes. And there was something begin to come up in me, and I just felt like I needed to thank the Lord. I got up first. I got up and I just done like that. And they all went to, and then they began to, you said He saved you? I said, yeah, He saved me. Hugged some people two and three times. I was so happy. That song that says 'tis the old time religion says makes me love everybody. It's true. It's true. I'll guarantee you it's true. It made me love everybody. A sister Loretta Lyons back home will testify. They had a farmhand. She said, I didn't like him. She said, I was just this little petite girl and all about being pretty and keeping myself clean. And he'd come in off the farm filthy. Said, Dad would treat him just like he's one of the family. Let him sit at the table. She said, I didn't like that. She said, I was just too good, you know. She said, didn't like him at all. And she said, one day, she said, I'd been going to the altar to try to get saved. And said, one day in meeting, she said, I stayed longer than the church. And they dismissed, and there I was. And found out later, she said, that they'd called on the man I didn't like to pray. Not that his prayer saved her, but after she got saved, she said, I got up. And she said, I looked at that man, and I thought, what in the world has happened to him? She said, he looked so different. She said, he looked so pretty. She said, I did not like him anymore. She said, it took me a little while to realize it was me that changed and not him. Oh, they said, old Brother Strode was saying, time has made a change in me. And he'd say, Christ has made a change in me. Oh, if he don't change you. They said, the old black preacher said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. I believe that. I believe that. I'm thankful it's well with my soul, ain't you? I hugged three or four that night, testified at the end of the service, and I said, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul and being here. And that's what He saved. He saved my soul. He said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth.
He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. This old body, just it'll grow older. I know, surely I'm not over the hill. I'm 34. But I have worked hard. And I've done a lot of old beating kind of work, you know. And I feel it in my knuckles. I get to preaching sometimes. I clap my hands and can't help it. And I try to keep them in my pocket. And I've tried to. Honestly, I've tried to. I don't want to be, you know. It's not in the movement or the mannerisms. It's in the message. I know that. But I've tried not to, you know. But I can't help it. I like to clap sometimes and stomp and get a little carried away and can't help it. But my knuckles, they started, you know, they hurt a little bit. My wife says it's because I held the wheel and drove so long. I don't know. I'm still a young man now. I'm not complaining. But I'm talking, when God saved me, this old body, He didn't save it. It's just going to grow old. But there is a song that says, where the soul never dies. Jesus died to save our soul, didn't He? He died to redeem our body from its corruptible state. He resurrected. He was delivered for our offenses, the Bible says. He rose for our justification. The Bible says the body is going to return to dust. But the soul is going to return to God who gave it. So my soul is saved and it's well with my soul. It may not be well. I don't know. I don't even know what I got in the checking account. I know not much. But I got enough. And so I can say in every aspect of my life that it's well. But if you looked at it, you might say, well, it's not a perfect circumstances in every way. But when it comes down to my soul, I'm glad I can say it's well with my soul. Amen. And if I wake up tomorrow and everything I've got is taken away, it'll still be well with my soul. Everything Job had little by little was taken away. And his wife said, just curse God and die. Get it over with. You still got your integrity now, bud. Job said, I come in the world naked and that's the way I leave. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul spoke of himself. I've learned in whatever state I am how to be content. How could he say that? Because he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, it's well with my soul. He was in prison, locked up, had bonds and shackles about him, counted it an honor to stand before Agrippa, Festus, and Felix. And he said, I count myself happy to stand here and testify and tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus. One says, much learning has made you mad, Paul. The other says, you've almost persuaded me. One says, I'll call for you at a more convenient season. Paul said, I would, and altogether, he was just like me, except these old bonds. But he knew one day he'd shake them off too, because his soul was saved, and he was going to go free. The song says, lock me up in prison, I'll still go free. Brother, when God saved me, the old song says, like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like the blind man that God gave back his sight, like the poor wretched beggar had found fortune and fame. When God saved me, there was a freedom come in my soul. And I've still got the body to contend with in the flesh. That's what the writer wrote about when he said, bars of bones hold my soul. I'm my own worst enemy, and you are too. This old body hinders me, but one of these days I'll drop this robe of flesh and rise. Amen. He saved my soul. And one of these days when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'll go to be where God is, and where He's at's a good place. They're fussing and feuding and they can't understand about bosom, Abraham's bosom and all of that back home. And I ain't saying I do. One old mountain preacher back home or country preacher says, if you get to Abraham's bosom, don't worry about it. I think I understand a lot of that stuff. I think I do. I think that Christ did go in, deliver the spirits that was in prison. I believe He went in the heart of the earth and held captivity captive. And I believe He brought them souls out of there. And I believe paradise was caught up to glory. I believe that's Bible doctrine. But I ain't saying you got to understand all that necessarily. It's good when you do. But I'm telling you the greatest thing that a man can say is stand on his own two feet and say, I know without a doubt it's well with my soul. It is well. It is well. It's well with my soul. He said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, it's well with my soul. He said, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it's well with my soul. Paul,
had him a time there in prison, him and Silas, locked up in the inner prison. He, I'm sure it entered his mind, look where serving the Lord's got you. I'm sure it did. Maybe he had to encourage Silas. Maybe Silas had to encourage him. It goes both ways, don't it? Sometimes I'm down, sometimes you're up. Sometimes you're up, sometimes I'm down. But I'll tell you, whatever my lot, he's taught me to say, it's well with my soul. Oh, the world may be like last night, you know, storms are brewing, but there's peace in my heart. My nerves get shook up at times. I'm trying to get a handle on all that and do like Brother Milby said. It might come with age where I get to where I can say I ain't going to worry about nothing. I don't know. I hope I can get to that level, you know, because I still do. I'm sorry that I do. Old Brother Richard Lyle, he's an older preacher in my church, and I got great respect for him. He says, now, that worrying, he said, you take it too far, it's sin, preacher. He said, you take that worrying too far, it's sin. I said, I know, Brother Richard. I just need to give it to the Lord, don't I? But I'm telling you, I'm thankful, ain't you, that it's well with my soul? I'm so glad Paul said it's faithful, saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when God dealt with me, brother, it was deep. It was deep in my spirit and in my soul. I mean, and I knew it. And the very moment that I exercised faith in Him, that guilty stain went away. That guilty feeling and condemnation, as the brother preached about, I guess it was last night, was gone. It's gone, it's gone. I've heard experiences up on of people getting saved coming off the altar. They didn't know what to say. They just said, it's gone. One old lady said, it just flew away, but it's gone. I don't know where it went to. You can read about the scapegoat. He placed our iniquities on Him. I believe it's in Leviticus 16. And then here come the fifth man. Picks Him up and takes Him way, way away into a land and a place where nobody's inhabited. If you spoke to me about my past, I don't remember a lot of it because I was only 12. But if you talk to God about it, He said, all I see when I look in Him is the blood, and in my eyes He is the perfect Son. We're secure in the Lord. We're sealed into the day of redemption. I'm saved, presently saved, will be saved, am saved, stand right now saved, won't be no more saved tomorrow either. I'm as saved as I'm going to get. Understand, not bodily form, but my soul is saved. I'm so thankful. Now, speaking of our body, He said we're saved by hope. Now, I got a hope, ain't you? Our soul, when we die, be separated from the body. It'll take a flight to be with the Lord until that day when the Lord returns. He told them in Thessalonians, we've lost loved ones. I think I've been trying to pray for Brother Guffey back there. He lost his father, and I won't say much about that. But I've been heavy-hearted for him. But I'll tell you, the Bible says when we lose somebody that we know was right with God. And I'm sorry, Brother Wes. I'm really sorry. I'm praying for you, brother. But I'm telling you, it leaves us in the book of Thessalonians a hope like no other hope. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, also them which are asleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. Now listen, I might have used to believe it. And I don't know what y'all's doctrine is in this area. And the soul may rest, but I don't believe in a particular soul sleep like some people do. Now that's all right. I'm going to just stay away from that because I don't know that it matters that much. But I know we'll be with God. I ain't going down, I'm going up. Some say we'll know this, some say we'll know that. I don't know, and I ain't really worried about it. I'm so glad that I can say it's well with my soul. I might have just ought to stay off of that, because I don't know that it matters. It's well with my soul. I don't really know that it does. I know that God's Word's right, and I want to know the truth about everything God had to say about it. I do. I want to know. I'm a little curious about some things. Just a little curious about what it'll be like, ain't you? What's wrong with that? Nothing, I don't reckon. He said He'll bring them with Him. Then the dead in Christ, and boy, that's something, ain't it? Talking about that old body that was sown in weakness. He said, and I believe it's in the 1 Corinthians, sown in weakness, be raised in power. And that body will be resurrected. It'll meet the soul. And it'll be a new body and a glorified body, completely be complete then. And then we which are alive and remain, we'll be changed too. Just real quick like that. Then we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, I'm going to go back home and y'all won't have me to worry about. I think Brother Neesmith will like this. Instead of fighting over wine and grape juice, instead of fighting over all millennial or premillennial, instead of fighting over whether you wash feet or whether you don't, we ought to wave the bloodstained banner and tell sinners that they need to get right with God. I'm not telling you that none of that other stuff matters. I'm not telling you we need to be haphazard about carrying out the work of God. I'm not telling you we need to be loose in our doctrine. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you when I was a sinner, none of that stuff mattered to me. When God was convicting me, none of that stuff mattered. I just needed to hear some good news that somebody loved me and that I was lost, and you got to get lost before you get saved. But I just need to know that there was somewhere that I could go to get some relief. And they pointed me to the cross. And when I made my way there, I found what I needed, and it satisfied my soul. Satisfied my long, and it brought me a peace that I couldn't fully explain. It was a joy that come in me that was unspeakable. It was full of glory. It made me happy, so happy. It made me feel light on my feet. Yes, it did. It made me feel different. It made me feel like I belonged to them people again. So different. Oh, I'm so glad it's well with my soul. I'm so glad it's well. Ain't you? Ain't you glad it's well? Little boy in the Bible was born blind. The disciples said, "Who has sinned so great, you know, that this little fellow was born this way?" They said, "Nobody. Is he just born this way?" Jesus said, "For the glory of God." Jesus said, "It's got a purpose. You just stand around, you're going to see a great thing happen." And he gave the little boy his sight, and they began to ask him, "Who did it?" First, they asked his parents. They said, "He's of age. Ask him about it. He can tell you." Boy, I tell you, my mama wouldn't have told my salvation for me for nothing. I shied backwards too. Very, very, very shy. You might not can tell it now, and I'm real nervous. I'm trying to hide it. You may not can tell it, but I was very shy. Real shy. You couldn't have paid me to join the church and told my experience beforehand. You couldn't have paid me to have got up in front of in a little old church where so many people so hot you couldn't hardly breathe that night. In the summer and it's hot. You couldn't have paid me to have done that. Oh, but something happened to me that overwhelmed me. And there was a strength like I'd never felt. You couldn't have paid me to have got up in the pulpit and preached. Oh, people's changed, ain't they? Kids, you know, they've really changed. Buddy, when God called me to preach, it was a big deal. Man, it wasn't that I didn't want to serve the Lord. It wasn't that I didn't love the Lord. And I hadn't been raised. There's no prestige to really preach. And I wasn't really taught the respect for the man of God that I ought to be in. I really wasn't really. I was taught to respect him, but probably maybe not like I ought to be in. But I was taught to respect him. And it had a special place. And the man of God had a special place in my life. But the longest walk I ever took, other than that trip to the altar, was from about where Brother Mike Smith is sitting to the pulpit. On the Sunday morning that I preached my first sermon, you couldn't have paid me to do that. Oh, Lord. Man, you talk about a load. But I got up there, I said, "God, what do you want me to preach? What in the world will I say today?" And I thought, you just tell them that they must be born again. And I opened my little old Bible that Mama gave me, a little gray Bible that had my name right there. Probably got it when I was around 14. And I read out of John chapter 3. "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Listen, it was in a little old Methodist church by the side of the road. And they was missionary Baptist folks there and Methodists there. And I preached that day and I told them people that they better get concerned about their soul. Couldn't move, just stood there scared to death. Never could move. Barely looked over. Tears flowing down my face. Preached that morning. And God helped me. And told them I needed to get right with God. I didn't know nothing about it. I had never heard the word all millennial. didn't know what a premillennialist believed. I thought some of that stuff was only Mormons believed it. I didn't know. But I knew I believed that the Lamb of God come and went to the cross and died for sinners. I knew that much. And I knew I had an experience one night at the age of 12 on a Thursday night, sometime probably between 9 and 10 o'clock, that I was under heavy load and the preachers went so far as they could with me. And Mama done all she could. When she got upset, I don't mean to preach long because I know there's other men coming, but I'm going to go home in a little while, so I'm going to say all I need to say while I'm here. But my mom, she scolded my uncle for coming to me that night. She said, he told me the other day in the yard he wasn't lost. She said, you got overzealous and went to him and shouldn't have. And I could barely hear, but I quit praying and got to listening. And I said, I got to do something about this. I turned around and said, Mama, I lied to you. And my mama stood and wrung her hands and said, help me pray, church. Help me pray. And brother, they went down in prayer, and somewhere in there, I lost sight of everything. I got past them and had my own experience of grace right there. I mean, brother, I could stand at the age of 12 and say, I know. I didn't understand it all, but brother, I knew that something real had happened to me. He changed me. I'm 34 now. Been preaching since I was 19. And the little kids at church sing, he's still working on me. And they're singing to me. He's still working on Brother Neesmith and Brother Milby and all of these other preachers. And the devil is too, you know. Someone said yesterday, they asked the old lady, something like 88 or 92, I forget the numbers, said, how old do you got to be before the devil quits working on you? She said, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me. I'm telling you, there's still room to grow, still room to learn. When I grow naturally, I just go up a pant size. I'm telling you, there's still room in my heart. I mean, when the Lord come and was born into the world, the Bible said there wasn't no room for him, and there ain't a lot of room for him. But I'm telling you, we ought to just say, Lord, come in, take up all the room you need. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, friend, and we ought to just let him have full reign in our heart. Sometimes if we're going to grow, we got to throw away ideas, got to trash tradition, but we just going to have to say, God, you're right, and everything else is wrong, and he'll lead us in the right path. I'm glad it's well with my soul. I'm thankful this morning that I know I'm saved. If you hear of my passing, if something was to happen before I get home, I'll meet you over yonder. I love you people. You've been good to me, just good old plain people. I appreciate it. I went back. I've been here three times, and one year, maybe the next, and missed a few years. But I told my wife, I said, there's an old preacher down there in Alabama, just full of love. His name's Cletus Neesmia. I said, they'll sing, he'll shout a while. And I said, he loves people. And I said, I believe them's good people. I said, I don't believe they're picky today. And I said, I believe them people will give a young preacher a chance. And I appreciate that. I appreciate people that love God and got the touch of God on them, that love people. Oh, me and you might never see, may not see everything right. Now, when it comes down to salvation, I tell you what, I might have to draw a line if me and you don't agree. Ain't but one way, friend. Ain't but one way. Just one. And I'm thankful for that. Just one way. I'm glad it's settled. He said, you know, in one place, he said, the just shall live by faith. And I believe he said in the book of James, if any man shall draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it. He said, we're not of them to draw back unto perdition, but we have believed for the saving of the soul.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad my soul's saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got a ticket. Didn't cost me nothing. I hold a clear title. Thank the Lord. Thank you, brother, for letting
God
me.
God bless you, brother.
Appreciate you listening.
Amen.